بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening this is going to be our fourth session, reading from Bawa'ith Al-Khalas Min Al-Dhunub, and how to escape or the matters or the causes, means through which a person can avoid falling into sin and distancing oneself from it. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the third and fourth of these means, ways and means of avoiding sin. But before we do that, we're going to look at what we discussed last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 3. The first question being, mention the second ba'ith, religious motivational factor, presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. The second ba'ith mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. Na'am, Adam.
That a person actualizes and bear witness to the love that a person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, and be conscious of that love.
Na'am, that a person actualize, yani realize, be conscious of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's in one's heart, by means of which the person will be able to abandon and give up disobedience to Allah out of love for Him. Giving up disobedience to Allah out of love for Him. For indeed, as he mentioned in the poetry, the one who loves is obedient to the one loved. The second question, memorize the statement from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 165th ayat, which shows that loving Allah is an important, essential characteristic of the believers. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 165th ayat. Now, fadl. The ayat. What the Shaykh quoted, yeah. The words of the ayat. The part of the ayat that he quoted, just a couple of words. Anybody know this ayat? Anybody? Now, fadl. Huh? Read it.
Have mankind some takes the worship of the besides Allah as rivals to Allah, they love them as they love Allah. Right? And it says, but those who believe love Allah more than anything else, if only those who do wrong could see.
Nah, that's it. That's the place where he quoted. Yani? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, their love of Allah is greater than, yani, in comparison to the mushriks who have taken others as equals and rivals to Allah. Yani, those mushriks share their love with those things that they have associated with Allah. While the believers, the people of Iman, the people of Tawheed, their love is purely for Allah alone. Yani, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The third question, mention one of the two reasons. One of them is mentioned in the English translation, and the other one, or the other that's not mentioned in the English is mentioned in the Arabic. Now, mention one of the two reasons why occupying one's heart with the love of Allah prevents one from falling into sin. Now, Abdul Wali.
A person is driven by the love of Allah, and this will preoccupy him and keep the slave from falling into disobedience.
Naam. When a person's heart is occupied by the love of Allah, then this, yani? Naam. The person whose heart is occupied with the love of Allah, then this will be a means of turning them away from disobedience to Allah. The Shaykh mentions two reasons why that is so. Why does it divert a person from disobedience to Allah? Why? Naam.
The people of Iman give their love to Allah exclusively.
That's from the previous ayah. That's not what the Shaykh mentioned. The Shaykh mentioned two things. Two reasons why occupying one's heart with the love of Allah diverts a person from disobedience to Allah. He said, because, now,
the commission of sin and acts of disobedience cause a person to miss out on their share of the love of Allah.
Now, that's the first reason. That's mentioned in the Arabic text, not mentioned in the English translation. Yani, because the person who commits sins and acts of disobedience, this will be a cause for them to miss out on the love of Allah for them that would have been for them were it not for their sins. They will lose out on that love of Allah that Allah would have for them. But as a result of their sin, they lose out on that. So this is the first reason. If a person knows that Allah has love for them, but they would lose it if they are disobedient to Allah, the person of Iman, this will be a motivating factor to cause that person to try to avoid sins so as not to lose out on their portion, their share of the love of Allah that He has for them. Second reason that's mentioned in the English translation. Second reason that the Shaykh mentions. The other reason why occupying one's heart with the love of Allah would cause a person to turn away from disobedience to Allah. Naam.
If your love is truly true, then you will obey Him. Surely you'll be obedient to the one you love.
Hey, because the person who has al-mahabba sadiqa, true, sincere love for Allah, this necessitates, it requires, it's mustalzima, that a person, it requires that a person, yani, comply with the commands of Allah, and that a person avoid and leave off those things which anger Allah. As he said in the line of poetry, because the one who loves someone obeys the one that they love. Now, these two reasons we discussed last week are really, really very important, that if a person, yani, focus on it and think about it and reflect upon it, that they would lose out on their portion of love from Allah that Allah has for them. This has to be a real motivating factor to help a person to avoid falling into sin. And also because if a person has true love, then that true love requires that one is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani complying with His commands and avoiding His prohibitions and that which angers Him, if they really love Allah. Question number four, memorize an ayah from the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, third Surah, 31st ayah, which gives us the criterion to determine true love of Allah. The ayah from the Quran, which is the criterion. As Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he said, this ayah is a haqimah, yani it is a judge over whoever claims to have love of Allah. Now, anybody remember the ayah? Adil. Now, who can translate this ayah for us? Somebody other than him. Naam. Okay, say, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
If you love Allah.
And he say to these people who claim they love Allah. Naam.
If you love Allah, uh-huh. Follow me, Allah will love you back and forgive you.
Naam. If you really love Allah, then the test that Allah has made for the people who claim love of Allah is that they follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. And ittiba' Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following him, obeying him in one's actions, speech, in their beliefs, in their manners. This is the criterion to determine that a person really has love of Allah, that they follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he sent to be followed. And then as in return for that, Allah would love them and Allah would forgive them their sins. Question number five, mention the final two lines of poetry which clarify the fact that true love requires obedience to the one you love. The last two lines. Naam. Fadl. Naam. Help me with your name, brother.
Partey.
I need to write it down. MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair. For your patience with me. Naam. Now, this line from the poetry is direct to the point. And if a person's love is really true, if you really loved Allah, then you would have obeyed Him. For indeed, a person obeys the one that they love. And we did have some discussion, we're not going to go into it now, but that the meaning of this line of poetry for the people of Sunnah is that, not that if a person disobeys Allah, they have no love of Allah, but it means that they don't have that love, that level of love that would enable them to be obedient to Allah and to avoid sins because of their desire to be near to Allah. I have some work. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khair. Question number 6. Mention the greatest blessing of Allah due to which your love of Allah is increased by reflecting on it. And the greatest of the blessings of Allah, which if a person reflects upon it, their love of Allah is increased. What is that ni'mah of Allah? Now, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand over there. I got to look on this side too. Fadda.
Creation.
The greatest ni'mah of Allah upon the human being. The greatest ni'mah of Allah upon the human being, which if you were to reflect upon it, it would increase your love of Allah. Na'am.
Reflecting on the favor and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Also, which favor of Allah is the greatest of them? Reflecting on the favors of Allah is the means of increasing your love. But what is the greatest favor of Allah? Allah has given us so many favors. What is the greatest of them? Okay. No, no, I don't want to name a few. I want the greatest one. One. Single. Name. Abdul Wali.
To be guided to al-Islam and be upon
istiqam. The ni'mah of Islam. What istiqam alayhi? The ni'mah of Islam. Sure, there are a lot of blessings and bounties and favors of Allah, more than we can count. But the greatest of them is the ni'mah of Islam. Yani the favor, the blessing of Islam. Along with, coupled with, and not separate from being upright and steadfast upon Islam. Naam. The next question, mention 5 other blessings of Allah, any that you like to mention, due to which the love of Allah is increased by reflecting upon them. 5 other blessings of Allah. Naam, fadl. You don't have to mention 5, 1 or 2 is sufficient. Somebody else can join in. Naam.
Good health.
Good health. Well-being. Naam, zaki. Wealth.
House, clothing.
Naam. What's your name, Akhi?
Sharif.
Sharif. Naam. Fadl, Akhi.
A righteous spouse.
I want to just say spouse because it's for men and women, right? A righteous wife for us sitting here. A righteous spouse for a Muslim. Naam.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. I had one book left, and I told this brother to make sure he lets me know who was it that was here last week that needed that book. Just pass this back to the brother. JazakAllah khair. Fikum barakAllah. Naam, somebody else. What else?
Child.
Okay, righteous child. Somebody else. What else? Ni'mah of Allah. Naam, there's so many.
Eyesight.
Huh?
Eyesight.
Provisions, halal provisions.
Beneficial knowledge.
The sunnah. Naam, the sunnah. What goes with beneficial knowledge though?
Righteous actions.
Beneficial knowledge and acting upon it. Righteous actions. What else? Safety, security, comfort. Huh? Sound mind. The ni'mah of Allah are so many that we cannot count them. And we're going to talk about that today, inshallah, on today's topic. Okay, so these are some of the many blessings of Allah that we need to think about, reflect upon, ponder over, and remind ourselves of every single day. Every single day. So that our heart can be increased with the love of Allah, and that love can be strengthened. The last question summarizes the first 2 bawath motivation factors mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The first 2 that he mentioned that we covered in the previous sessions. First 2. Summarize like in a couple of words. We don't want an explanation. Just a couple of words. Now. Okay, that a person's heart is filled with the recognition, the acknowledgement, the consciousness and awareness of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, adil. Were you going to say that one? Five. Second one. Another one. What's the second one that we mentioned last week? Huh? Anybody?
The love of Allah.
The love of Allah. Yani, that a person's heart is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at 2 of these matters. The 3rd and the 4th. And I'll remind everyone that the explanation of the...
Should you give up the worksheet?
Inshallah, that's my... Not tonight, inshallah. By email, I sent it already. But I didn't print it, I'm sorry. I'm the one who apologizes. I forgot to print it. But if anybody's not in the email list, and maybe you wouldn't have a copy of it, then you can just put your email address in clear English letters and numbers that's easy for me to read, and I'll send it to you, inshallah. And perhaps, طيب, خلاص. Tonight we're going to look at the third and fourth of these matters. And these two follow what we discussed in the previous sessions, and they also go together in that these are two matters that a person can work on at the same time. The first of these two matters is being conscious and aware, recognizing and acknowledging the favors and blessings and bounties of Allah. And the second of them, of these two, is being conscious of and reminding oneself of the anger of Allah. Yani reminding oneself of the kindness and the goodness and the favors of Allah upon us, innumerable, unending, continuous favors of Allah upon us. And secondly, being conscious of and aware of Allah's anger and His wrath and the consequence of that, what it results in. The English translation of the text from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is in the back of the book. I remind you, it's in the back of the English translation on page 58. And I'm just going to read through how it has been translated here, and then we're going to go to the Arabic text and look at yani the words of Ibn al-Qayyim from the Arabic text and the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak. It says here, the third one is consciousness of the blessing and favor. As verily the noble person does not repay the one who treated him well with discourtesy. This is a trait, yani, returning a favor with, yani, discourtesy or ill behavior. This is the trait of the ignoble people. Therefore, the acknowledgement of the blessing and favor of Allah should prevent one from disobeying Allah, because he is shy that Allah's favors and blessings descend upon him while his disobedience, sins, and evil acts are rising up to his Lord. So an angel descends with one thing, that is the blessings and favors of Allah, and another angel ascends from you, yani, with something else, that is the evil deeds. What a wretched exchange. This is how it has been translated in the back of the book, and yani, we're going to read from the Arabic text from page 12, the words of Ibn al-Qayyim, and then the explanation, the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, and maybe we'll make just a couple of points. I'll mention here, as I did before, that there's some difference between the English translation and the actual Arabic text. Sometimes there are some points that are not mentioned at all, and sometimes there's the omission of some parts of a statement, and sometimes it's just something completely different. So if you actually, if you have previewed the English text of the book, the translation of the book, and you find that we're saying something a little different, there's a difference between the English translation and the Arabic text. So from page 12 of the Arabic text is the beginning. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentions the text. He says, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله الثالث, يعني the third of the bawa'ith, the third of those umur, those asbab, the matters or the reasons or causes or means that help a person to avoid sin and help a person to distance oneself from sin. He said, الثالث مشهد النعمة والإحسان, yani it is the recognition, the acknowledgement, one's consciousness and awareness of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His kindness and His goodness to the human being. Jazakallah khair. So there's a study guide for you for the class tonight. Jazakallah khair. The mashhad of an-ni'mah wal-ihsan. Yani that a person recognizes, sees it for what it is, and then acknowledges it. Is conscious and aware and calls to mind the favors of Allah and the bounties of Allah, the kindness and goodness of Allah upon you. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمُ لَا يُعَامِلُ بِالْإِسَاءَةِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani the noble person doesn't treat the one who is kind to them, who is good to them, yani with offense or insult or misbehavior. The kareem, the noble person, doesn't return goodness with evil behavior. وَإِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُ هَذَا لِآمُ النَّاسِ. But rather, the one who does this, who is treated well and returns that good treatment with ill treatment, with offense and insult, the one who does this are the, those who do this are the ignoble people, the wicked, evil, lowly people. The Shaykh Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says here, فَلْيَمْنَعْهُ مَشْحَدُ إِحْسَانِ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَتِهِ عَنْ مَعَسِيَتِهِ. Yani, so therefore, this consciousness, this awareness of the kindness and the generosity and the blessings and favors of Allah must prevent a person from disobedience to him. And if a person is aware of Allah's goodness to them and His kindness and His favors upon them, this should prevent and restrain and restrict a person from disobedience to Allah, he said, حَيَاءً مِنْهُ, out of shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْ يَكُونُ خَيْرُ اللَّهُ وَإِنْعَامُهُ نَازِلًا إِلَيْهِ. Yani out of shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the goodness of Allah and the favors of Allah, Allah's bounties and blessings are coming down to you. وَمُخَالَفَتُهُ وَمَعَاسِيهِ وَقَبَائِحُهُ قَاعِدَةً صَاعِدَةً إِلَى رَبِّهِ. Yani that a person be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that while His goodness and His blessings and His favors are descending upon you, your disobedience to Allah and yani sinfulness and your ugly behavior is rising up to Allah. فَمَلَكٌ يَنْزِلُ بِهَذَا وَمَلَكٌ يَعْرُجُ بِهَذَا. While an angel is descending with the blessings and favors of Allah upon you, another angel is ascending up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your sins and disobedience to Him. فَأَكْبِحْ بِهَا فَأَكْبِحْ بِهَا مِنْ مُقَابَلَةٍ. Yani, oh how evil is this exchange that Allah is sending down upon you continuously, consecutively, unending blessings, favors, and bounties, and you are returning those favors with sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the text of the third, yani, ba'ith, the third sabab, cause or means that will help a person to avoid sinning and help a person to distance oneself from disobedience to Allah. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, Al-Amru al-Thalithu min hadihi al-Bawa'ith. Yani the third affair, the third means, ways or means from these, yani ways or means of avoiding sin. Ni'mullah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ihsanuhu. Yani it is the recognition, the acknowledgement of the favors of Allah and His goodness and His kindness. Recognizing this, acknowledging this. فَيَسْتَشْعِرُ الْعَبْدُ نِعْمَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْكَثِيرَةَ عَلَيْهِ. So the person, the worshipper of Allah, calls to mind, makes oneself conscious and aware, reminds oneself of the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the many favors of Allah upon you, upon him. كما قال تعالى وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the 14th surah, 34th ayah, and also came similar, in the 16th surah, 18th ayah, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. And if you were to count the favors and bounties of Allah, لَا تُحْصُهَا, you would not be able to enumerate them. Yani you couldn't count the number of them. And as some of the scholars of tafsir said, yani not to mention fulfilling the obligation of gratitude for them. Yani if a person attempted to count the favors of Allah, they wouldn't be able to enumerate them. What about then? What is actually required is not to count them, but rather to show gratitude for them. Al-Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in the context he mentions, الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. That Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and He is the one who sends down water and brings forth, yani, fruits and growth as provisions for you. And He is also, yani, سخر لكم الفلق لتجري في البحر بأمره. And He has also made the ships to be able to sail on the sea by His command, and the rivers to be also beneficial to the human beings. And He has made the sun and the moon to tirelessly revolve in the universe as He has made them. And He has also subdued to you or made beneficial to you the night and the day. And He mentions these ni'am, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. And He has given you everything, or yani from amongst all of the things that you have asked for, He has given you them. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you were to count the favors of Allah, you wouldn't be able to enumerate them. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Indeed, the human being is an oppressor of his own self, and he is ungrateful, yani, for the favors and bounties of Allah. As Shaykh al-Sa'di, he says, yani, that if you were to attempt to count the favors of Allah, you wouldn't be able to do them. Fadlan an qiyamukum bi shukriha. Yani, not only you wouldn't be able to count them, but more importantly, even more so, you wouldn't be able to fulfill the obligation of gratitude for these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh has some further discussion. I just want to mention one point from what he said. Fafi hadhihi al-ayat من أصناف نعم الله على العباد شيء عظيم. That in these ayat, yani the 32nd and 33rd and 34th ayat from Surah Ibrahim, 14th surah, in these ayat are various types of the blessings of Allah upon His servant, yani a great amount of them. مجمل ومفصل, yani some of them are mentioned in general and some of them are mentioned in detail. يدعو الله به العباد إلى القيام بشكره. Yani Allah is mentioning these blessings and these favors upon the human being as a means of calling the worshippers to fulfill the obligation of being grateful for them. Yani Allah is not mentioning them just to make us aware that they are blessings. Rather, He is reminding us and He is encouraging us to fulfill the obligation of being grateful for His favors. And this is a tremendous matter that a Muslim should be aware of, and must be aware of, that the favors of Allah require, it is obligatory upon us to show gratitude for them. And the gratitude for them is not just saying Alhamdulillah. Sure, a Muslim says Alhamdulillah, but the gratitude to Allah for His favors is obedience to Allah. That if we are grateful for His favors, we obey Him, we fulfill His commands, and we avoid His prohibitions. Yani that is the most of what we can mention from this matter, lengthy discussion that the Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah has concerning this ayat. Shaykh Abdul Razak goes on in the explanation after this ayat. He says, فَيَحْذَرْ مَنْ يُقَابِلَ هَذَا الْإِحْسَانِ بِالْإِسَاءَ. So a person should be cautious and beware and try make an active attempt to avoid exchanging the goodness and kindness and favors of Allah, yani exchanging that, returning that favor with ill behavior, with misbehavior, with insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should be careful, should make a conscious effort to avoid receiving Allah's favors and then returning to Allah, yani misbehavior, sin, and disobedience to Him. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُصْبِغُ عَلَيْهِ النِّعْمُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering, pouring upon the people His favors. وَهُوَ يُقَابِلُهَا بِالْإِسَاءَةِ وَالْمَعَسِيَةِ. And then the person returns, yani, that good treatment, that good favor, the bounty and mercy and favor of Allah, they return it with sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh mentions an incident that is reported in the book Kitab At-Tawwabin. He said, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْإِمَامُ عَبْدُ الْغَنِيِّ الْمَقْدِسِ. And this incident is mentioned in the English translation in brief, in summary. In summary. Yani the main core of the idea is mentioned there, but it's not mentioned in its detail. قَدْ ذَكَرَ الْإِمَامُ ابْنَ عَبْدُ الْغَنِيِّ الْمَقْدِسِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّوَّابِينَ. In his book, yani, the people who are, yani, who are repenting a lot, frequently, making a lot of repentance. He mentions the story from Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, أنه جاءه رجل فقال له يا أبا إسحاق إني مسرف على نفسي فاعرض علي ما يكون لها زاجرا ومستنقذا لقلبي. He said to him, a man came to Ibrahim ibn Adham. He said to him, O Abu Ishaq, indeed I am exceeding the bounds in sin. Musrif ala nafsi, committing sins against my own soul. So offer to me, present to me something that will be a restraint of my soul and will rescue or deliver my heart, yani, from this condition of exceeding the bounds in sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if a person doesn't see themselves as exceeding the bounds in sin, there's no doubt that every human being is committing sin. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the human being is committing sin by day and by night. Yani all the time. And there's no one who forgives sins except Allah. So it is incumbent upon us, even if a person sees themselves as not being in this position of a person who has exceeded the limits in sin, know for sure that every one of us, by day and by night, is committing acts of disobedience to Allah from which we need to escape and we need to seek salvation and repentance. So he said to him, إِن قَبِلْتَ خَمْسَ خِصَالٍ وَكَدِّرْتَ عَلَيْهَا لَمْ تَدُرَّكَ مَعَصِيَةٌ وَلَمْ تُوبِقْتَ لَذَّةٌ. That if you accept these five matters and you are able, yani, to do them, then sin will not harm you. And the enjoyment of those things, yani, what is understood here, yani ladha, yani muharrama, and the enjoyment of those things that are forbidden will not destroy you. Yani if you accept these five matters and you are able to do them, then sin will not harm you and you will not be destroyed by the forbidden pleasures that you engage in. So before we read, yani, this discussion, we want to say that, yani, just so that it's crystal clear from the outset, that these are five things, he said, if you accept them and are able to do them, and these are things that a person would not be able to do. And therefore, the idea that a person can sin and it doesn't harm them is not realistic. That's impossible. Just as it's impossible for you to do these five things, it's also impossible for you to commit sin and it doesn't harm you. For you to engage in forbidding pleasures and it doesn't destroy you. He said, if you accept them and you are able to do them, then sin will not harm you and the forbidden pleasures will not destroy you. قَالَ هَاتِي يَا أَبَا حَقْ. Okay, Abu Ishaq, give me, yani, what are these five things? فَقَالَ لَهُ أَمَّا الْأُولَى فإذا أردت أن تعصي الله عز وجل فلا تأكل رزقه. يعني if you intend, want or desire to disobey Allah, then don't eat from His provisions. يعني don't eat from what Allah has provided while you are sinning. But rather, don't abstain, refrain. Avoid eating from Allah's sustenance, and then you are, and then you may sin. The man said to him, فَقَالَ رَجُلْ فَمِنْ أَيْنَ أَكُلْ وَكُلُّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ رِزْقِي. Then where will I eat from? Because everything in the earth is from the rizq of Allah. Everything is from the provisions of Allah. How will I then eat? The point is what? That it will be not possible for you to eat, to consume, yani to benefit from Allah's blessings and bounties that you are in need of every day. You are not able to live without it. How then can you consume what Allah has provided and at the same time, yani, disobey Him? So he said to him, Ya hadha afayahsunu an ta'kula rizqahu wa ta'asiyahu. Yani, is it befitting that you eat from Allah's provisions and that at the same time, while you are eating from Allah's provisions, you are disobedient to Him? He said, La. No, it's not befitting. So give me the second one. He said to him, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعَصِيَهُ فَلَا تَسْكُنْ شَيْئًا مِّن بِلَادِهِ. Yani, if you intend to disobey Allah, then do not reside in His lands. Don't reside in the lands of Allah, yani, in the earth. The man said, هَذَا أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الْأُولَى. This is more difficult than the first one. إِذَا كَانَ الْمَشْرِقْ وَالْمَغْرِبْ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَهُ فَأَيْنَ أَسْكُنْ. Yani, if the east and the west and everything between them all belong to Allah, so where will I reside then? And if there's no place for you to reside in this earth while you're in disobedience to Allah. He said to him, Ya hadha afayahsunu an ta'kula rizqahu wa taskuna biladahu wa ta'asiyahu. Yani, is it befitting of you that you eat from Allah's provisions and you reside in His earth while you are in disobedience to Him? He said, La. It's not befitting. Give me the third. قال إبراهيم إذا أردت أن تعصيه وأنت تحت رزقه وفي بلاده فانظر موضعا لا يراك فيه مبارزا له فأعصيه فيه. He said, if you intend to be disobedient to Allah while you are consuming His provisions and you are living in His lands, then look for a place where Allah will not see you in it, standing in front of Him, disobeying Him. And if a person thinks that it's dark in the night, or they're in a private place with the doors closed and the windows shut, but Allah, yani, sees. Yani, when a person is disobedient to Allah, wherever they may be, they are standing in front of Allah in disobedience to Him. He said, كَيْفَ هَذَا وَهُوَ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَى مَا فِي السَّرَايِ. How can I find a place where Allah will not see me in my disobedience to Him, while He is overlooking, seeing, aware of even the secrets, yani, that's in the heart? The man said, then it is befitting of you to eat from His provisions and to reside in His land. وَتَعَسِيَهُ وَهُوَ يَرَاكَ وَيَرَى مَا تُجَاهِرُهُ بِهِ. Is it befitting of you to eat from His provisions and to reside in His land while you are disobeying Him, and He sees you and He sees what you are openly doing in front of Him, yani, of disobedience to Him? He said, no, this is not befitting. Give me the fourth one. قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِذَا جَاءَكَ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ ليقبض روحك فقل له أخرني حتى أتوب توبة نصوحا وأعمل لله عملا صالحا. He said, when the angel of death comes to you to take your soul, then say to him, give me some time until, so that I can repent to Allah sincere repentance and that I can do righteous deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani when the angel of death comes, tell him, wait. Give me some time. I'm going to go and repent, and I'm going to do some righteous deeds, then you can take me. He said, لا يقبل مني. This will not be accepted. قال, يا هذا, فأنت إذا لم تقدر أن تدفع عنك الموت لتتوب وتعلم أنه إذا جاء لم يكن له تأخيرا فكيف ترجو وجه الخلاص. يعني if you know that you are not able to repulse from you death when it comes so that you may repent, and you know that when it comes that it will not be delayed, so then how can you, what hope can you have of being saved or escaping? The man said, هاتي الخامسة, يعني what is the fifth, give me the fifth one. قال إبراهيم, إذا جاءك الزبانية يوم القيامة ليأخذوك إلى النار فلا تذهب معهم. يعني if the angels of death, the gods of the hellfire, if they come to you on the day of resurrection to take you to the hellfire, then don't go with them. Don't go. If you have the ability to do so. He said, لا يدعونني ولا يقبلون مني. He said, they would not leave me and they would not accept this from me. Yani it's clear that there will not be anything that a person can do at that time. He said, فكيف ترجو النجاة إذن? How then do you have any hope of being saved? The man said, يا إبراهيم حسبي حسبي أنا أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. He said, sufficient, O Ibrahim, this is sufficient for me. I seek forgiveness of Allah and I turn to Him in repentance. And these are five things, amongst others, that if a person were to consider and think about and pay attention to, it would help a person to realize the condition that one is in when they are acting in disobedience to Allah. Yani while eating from His provisions and living in His earth, committing sins in a place where Allah sees you standing in front of Him, disobedient to Him, knowing that when the angel of death comes, there will not be an opportunity at that point to take a pause and go back and repent and do some good deeds if it's not done now. Yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the angels of death come, or the angels of the hellfire come to take a person to the hellfire, there won't be any resisting and there won't be any escape if a person doesn't think about these things now. This is the third of the matters or the means of refraining from sin, from disobedience to Allah, and helping a person to distance oneself, to be far removed from disobedience to Allah. The fourth, again, in the English translation, the words of Ibn al-Qayyim is in the back of the book on page 58, where it says, consciousness of the anger and wrath of Allah. Yani is the fourth matter, being aware of the anger and wrath of Allah. Indeed, the Lord, the Most High, is angry when the servant persists to disobey Him. If He is angry, then nothing can withstand His anger, let alone this weak servant. The Shaykh briefly mentions here this particular point and some commentary, brief commentary, in which he mentions two ayat. One of them is mentioned in the English translation and the other one is not. So just be aware, there are actually two ayats that the Shaykh mentions. One of them is in the translation and the other, the second one is not. So Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, Al-Rabi', yani the fourth matter, ways from the ways and means which will help a person to abstain from sin and enable a person to be distanced to keep oneself far removed from disobedience to Allah. Arabiu mashhadu al-ghadabi wal-intiqam. Yani, the acknowledgement, the recognition, the realization, yani the realization that a person knows this is a fact, that there is ghadab, yani from the sifat of Allah is that he becomes angry. Wal-intiqam. And when he becomes angry, he punishes. فَإِنَّ الرَّبْ تَعَالَى إِذَا تَمَادَى الْعَبْدُ فِي مَعَصِيَتِهِ غَضِبَ. That our Rabb, Allah the Most High, if a person is insistent in acts of disobedience, then Allah becomes angry. وَإِذَا غَضِبَ لَمْ يَقُمْ لِغَضَبِهِ شَيْءٌ فَضْلًا عَنْ هَذَا الْعَبْدِ الدَّعِيفِ. And if and when Allah becomes angry, then nothing and no one can withstand His anger, let alone this weak human being. The Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he briefly discussed this matter, and it indeed is indeed of the utmost importance that we realize that from the sifat of Allah, yani those characteristics of Allah that should be understood in a way that is befitting of His majesty and His glory. Yani we shouldn't understand the characteristics or qualities or descriptions of Allah in the way we understand those characteristics, yani as they apply to the human being or any created being. Yani the sifat of Allah that are affirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah are affirmed by the people of Sunnah. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself, or His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him. Without making any comparison to these qualities or characteristics as they apply to the human being. Without, yani, interpreting them in some other way than what they appear to mean. And without, yani, distorting their meanings in a way that has no basis, yani, in the language nor in the sharia. But rather we affirm Allah's characteristics and qualities as they are in a manner which is befitting of His greatness and His glory and His majesty. So when we say that Allah becomes angry, it's not like the anger of a created being. It's not like the anger of the human being or any animal or anything that's created in the creation. Rather, Allah's characteristics are characteristics of perfection. They are characteristics of perfection. And they are pure good. There's nothing that we can understand in them that has any defect or any shortcoming or anything that, yani, a person would look down upon. So the Shaykh says the fourth matter from these ways and means of avoiding sin and distancing oneself from disobedience to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I forgot I had this water here. Alhamdulillah. The fourth matter. غَضَبُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَانْتِقَامُهُ. Yani, the anger of Allah. Yani, being conscious, being aware. Recognizing in one's heart and acknowledging that Allah does become angry. And that Allah does punish severely those who anger Him. غضب الله جل جلاله وانتقامه. فالله عز وجل يسخط ويغضب ممن عصاه. Allah is displeased and Allah is angered by those who disobey Him. Without discrimination, whoever disobeys Him, Allah is not pleased with it. Allah is not pleased that anyone disobey Him. And disobedience to Allah angers Him. And if Allah becomes angry, He will punish whoever He wills, in whatever way that He wills. And no one and nothing can withstand the anger or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, so Allah becomes displeased and Allah is angered by those who disobey Him. كما قال تعالى فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. So when we became angry, then we punished them. And this is from Surah Al-Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, 55th Ayah. So when they angered us, we punished them. Just before the Shaykh's commentary on this ayah related that he mentioned this ayah about, we want to mention that the context of this ayah is in reference to Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun. It's in reference to Pharaoh and the people of Pharaoh. The scholars of Tafsir said that who is intended here, and of course it's applicable to everyone who is like them, who disobeys Allah and angers Allah. What is intended here is Fir'aun and his armies. So the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Shaykh mentioned part of the ayat, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا أَنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَأَغْرَقَنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. So when they angered us, we punished them, and we drowned them all. Ibn Abbas said, the meaning of asafuna, askhatuna. And in another narration, aghdabuna. Yani when they, asafuna means that they, yani displeased Allah, and they angered Allah. Then Allah said He punished them, and He drowned them all. Yani not leaving one of them behind. Not a single one. الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي in his tafsir of this ayah says, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا أَيْ أَغْضَبُونَا بِأَفْعَالِهِمْ. And when they anger us by their actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't become angry haphazardly like the human being. A person is not feeling well, they may be upset with you. And you didn't do anything. Rather, Allah, He became angered by their actions, by their behavior, by their sinning and disobedience. So He punished them and He drowned all of them. From the points of this ayah that is very important is two things. One of them mentioned by Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir in his tafsir of this ayah. He mentions the narration that's reported by Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah from Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى يُعْتِيَ الْعَبْدْ مَا يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَاسِهِ فَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ إِسْتِدْرَاجٌ مِنْهُ لَهُ. Yani if you see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala giving a human being that which He wants, giving a human being that which He likes, وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَاسِهِ, while that person is constantly engaged in disobedience to Allah. Yani you see a person or a people or a nation that's constantly engaged in disobedience to Allah, and Allah has given them that which they desire. Don't be fooled by this. Don't be fooled by this. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ إِسْتِدْرَاجٌ مِّنْهُ لَهُ. Yani that this is istidraj from Allah to them. That is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing them gradually, unbeknowing, while they are unaware, bringing them to the point where He's going to suddenly destroy them. Yani, don't be deceived. If a person is engaged in disobedience to Allah constantly, and they seem to be getting everything that a person would want, don't be deceived by that. This is only istidraj, that Allah intends to punish them severely, but gradually He has taken them to the point where He's going to destroy them while they are completely unprepared for it. The second point that is of importance here, some of the scholars of tafsir said that from the benefits of this ayat is a tahdhir. مِنْ غَضِبِ الرَّبْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فَإِنُّهُ مَتَى غَضِبَ انْتَقَمَ. That from this ayat, this ayat contains a warning that a person should be warned from, yani, doing that which will earn the anger of Allah. Because when Allah becomes angry, then He punishes severely. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this ayat, when they anger us, then we punish them. فَإِذَا حَدَّثَتْ النَّفْسُ صَاحِبَهَا بِالْمَعَصِيَةِ فَلْيَذْكُرْ غَدَبَ اللَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَانْتِقَامَهُ الَّذِي لَا يُقَاوِمُهُ شَيْءٌ فَكَيْفَ بِهَذَا الْعَبْدِ الدَّعِيفِ. يعني if the nafs, the soul of the human being, speaks to him, calling him, encouraging him to disobedience, then he must remember, he must remind himself of the anger of Allah and his punishment, which nothing and no one can resist or withstand. So what about then this weak human being? Yani whoever finds themselves in a position where the nafs al-ammar bisu, yani that which is in their self is calling them or commanding them to do evil, then a person must remind themselves, yani of Allah's anger that is provoked by disobedience to him and his severe punishment for those who anger him. The Shaykh says, and he closes with this point, Wallahu ta'ala yaqul, second ayah that's not mentioned in the English translation, وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى. So whoever Allah's anger descends upon or becomes obligatory upon, then this person is destroyed. From the scholars of tafsir who mention the meaning of this ayah, Al-Imam As-Sa'di, he says that whoever Allah's anger descends upon or becomes obligatory upon, then he is destroyed. Yani meaning, رَضِيَ وَحَلَكَ وَخَابَ وَخَسِرَ, that this person will definitely be destroyed, will be wiped out, and they will be at loss. Yani they will lose out. Some of the scholars said that the meaning here, فَقَدْ هَوَى, it means سَقَطَ فِي النَّارِ, that this person will fall into the fire. And some of the scholars said, في قعر جهنم وحلك, that this person would fall into the bottom of the hellfire and be destroyed. It is also said in some of the commentary of the scholars on this ayah that this ayah contains a very important point that I already alluded to, that is that the ghadab, any being angry, is from the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, كَمَا يَلِيكُ ذَلِكَ بِجَلَالِهِ وَكَمَالِهِ, yani that this anger as an attribute or a description or quality of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala should be understood in a manner that is befitting of Allah's majesty and His perfection, not like the characteristics of the created beings. The Shaykh, he closes with the mention of this ayat and he says, فَلْيَحْذَرْ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ فِعْلِ مُوجِبَاتْ حُلُولْ غَدَبِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَسْبَابْ نِقْمَتِهِ وَسَخَتِهِ. So therefore a person must beware, yani must take precaution from doing those things which necessitate the descending of the anger of Allah upon him. Yani a person must beware and take every precaution from doing those things which are going to bring about the anger of Allah upon them. And those causes, yani asbab niqmatihi wa sakhatihi, those things which cause Allah to afflict somebody, to cause some misfortune to befall them or his displeasure to be upon them, a person has to call to mind, remind himself of the anger of Allah and his punishment. And a person must make every attempt, and he must consciously make an attempt to avoid those things which would require Allah becoming angry with them and therefore punishing them. And this is what we wanted to cover for tonight. And I want to close by just reminding us of one brief point, and that is that Ibn al-Qayyim, in the end of his listing of these 20 matters that a person, yani that can help a person to avoid falling into sin and help a person to distance themselves from sin, he mentions that it is not sufficient. And we'll get to that some weeks down the line, but now I want to bring it up now just so that we can benefit from this point. He said it is not sufficient that a person knows, is aware of these means or these ways of avoiding sin. Rather, it is incumbent that a person, when they know them, they have to act upon them. Yani it's not sufficient to know these things, but rather a person has to actively engage in reminding oneself of these things and then trying to implement them in our lives. Yani that a person tries to develop the ta'zeem of Allah in their heart, yani recognizing Allah's greatness and His glory. When we look at the creation, the magnitude and the magnificence of Allah's creation, this should help us to strengthen yani in our heart that consciousness of Allah's greatness and His majesty and His glory and His power and His might. And secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, it is befitting of the people of Iman that they have love for Allah, but that love has to be nourished, it has to be nurtured, it has to be developed, it has to be strengthened, it has to be increased. And from amongst the means of strengthening the love of Allah in one's heart is reminding oneself of the favors and bounties and blessings of Allah. And the third matter is that these blessings and these bounties and these favors of Allah, yani, must be reiterated, must be recounted, must be recalled in our mind and in our heart, reminding us of the unlimited bounties and blessings and favors of Allah, and that it is unbefitting of a Muslim and to be receiving the favors of Allah constantly, continuously, and then to return, yani, those to respond to or to exchange those favors with disobedience to Allah and that which is displeasing to Him. And finally, yani, a person has to remind themselves, especially at a time when a person feels tempted to engage in disobedience to Allah, we must remind ourselves of the anger of Allah and the severity of the punishment of Allah, and that Allah becomes angry because of the behavior of the human being, because of disobedience. Therefore, a person is able to avoid Allah's anger by striving to avoid disobedience to Allah. And the way that a person can be successful in implementing these things from the ways of doing so is to constantly remind ourselves of them by reading and reviewing and discussing with one another these matters, and then most importantly asking for Allah's help. There's no success, yani there's no tawfiq except from Allah. We ask Allah for success in doing that which is pleasing to Him. We ask Him for taysir, to make these things easy for us, to make them easy for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for i'ana, that He help us in doing these things so that yani with the help of Allah, inshallah, we can be successful. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any comments, inshallah, we'll save them for after the salat. And whoever's able to stay after the salat, inshallah, we're going to just sit for a few minutes and have some refreshments, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairan.